What we had from the ASX in the end was just a 3-point gain, and that says we had mining stocks being sold off, but those tech stocks having a very, very good day indeed. It was a share price spike of about $1 billion for Zip in terms of its market cap. A trading update which beat market expectations. And what's happening there is basically the US business, which is QuadPay, racking up gains, which are being seen as pretty extraordinary by not just Zip itself, but plenty of the analysts who cover the stock as well. So let's chat with the co-founder, Zip co-founder, Peter Gray, this evening. Peter Gray, love chatting to you. Welcome back to Money News.
Thank you for having me.
Just give us a picture of the US consumer and the kind of quarter that you've had in the US for your business.
Yeah, thanks, Brooke. Another absolutely outstanding set of numbers. We really have to continue with the momentum that we exited calendar year 20 with in what is traditionally a seasonally quieter quarter for buy now, pay later. What we've seen from our US business, QuadPay, has been a significant growth period, up some 200% year on year and all the key metrics. Huge levels of consumer adoption via the app is delivering market-leading results.
How expensive is it to chase the growth there in the US market where there's so much competition?
Yeah, look, we may not make no secret of the fact that we're investing heavily for growth and, you know, we do have our eyes on the US market as the number one prize. Any investment we make is not at the expense of our unit economics, so we do not engage in loss-leading business. We have maintained, in fact, market-leading unit economics, which provide a competitive advantage for us. Our model is somewhat different to the others. We do rely heavily on retail partnerships, which do sometimes require marketing investments, but we also have a market-leading app, which is delivering customer acquisition through viral mechanism that's not necessarily available to our competitive peers.
Peter, the big news since I spoke to you last is that CBA is now bursting onto the buy now, pay later scene. And when I look at some of the comments from the analysts, I mean, they agree you're going gangbusters in the US. They reckon you continue to grow well there. But when we look at the competition from CBA and PayPal, they reckon, I'm looking at the Morningstar analyst comments, they reckon there's a bigger chance the incumbents eat Zip's lunch than Afterpay's. So are you more susceptible to the extra competition that's on the way?
Yeah, I think last time we talked to you, we were talking about how CBA was pushing Klarna as their buy now, pay later solution. So certainly a bit of a pivot in terms of their strategy. Clearly, that worked quite well for them. Look, it's very innovative of them to join the party. I don't think, under any circumstances are we terribly concerned about them as a competitive threat. Clearly, they're a formidable participant in the Australian financial services sector, but we believe they're significantly challenged to be successful with a buy now, pay later offering. Similarly, PayPal has not led the space with regard to innovation. They're finally joining the party, if you like, in the US recently. But our view in that market certainly is at very early stages with regards to market maturity, and the competitive dynamic is actually a good thing for all participants in the industry. So it will significantly increase awareness both on the consumer and the retailer side. So as we've seen, from our journey with Afterpay, that competition is actually a good thing for participants in that early stages of market adoption. Mm. Coming back to the Australian market, as I touched on, we believe the Commonwealth Bank would have a number of things that they would need to solve to be any sort of disruptive threat to buy now, pay later. And in fact, it's more validation of our model.
Well, I guess when I looked at your numbers recently, you clipped the ticket at 7% per transaction. So the customer gets the four instalments for free, but the merchant pays you guys 7%. And CBA, with its entry into the space, the merchants are not going to be paying CBA anything like that. Isn't that where the risk is in your margins?
Yeah, I think the 7% number includes other revenue lines. So I think the merchant rate might be closer to 3 or 4%. But so it is significantly higher than other payment types on some measurement. But the CBA has no relationship with the retailers. They're not referring traffic to a retailer. They're not pivoting through real estate on the retailer journey with regard to product pages and in-store. So they're not delivering increased incrementality. They're not sending traffic there. So it's very unlikely that the retailer will get any benefit from CBA. I think the other call out is a customer who is choosing a pay in four product is potentially already chosen Afterpay. If the product is free to each user and a millennial has the choice of choosing between Afterpay or ourselves in the CBA, given it's free, I think we're pretty confident that the millennial customer would be choosing ourselves or Afterpay.
Peter Gray, huge numbers from you today. Thanks for making yourself available. Massive share price gain as well on the back of it. So thanks for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you for having me.